What up, what up? This is Geek Nerd Tech. Today we have SpaceX rockets explode, Apple battery replacement, and Jumanji the movie is number one. Let's get to it. We got a lot to cover today.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Us, then we gon' be all right.
Woo! Nigga, we gon' be all right. Yeah. Nigga, we gon' be all right. Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. This is Geek Nerd Tech, GNT. I'm Akili Sean, your host. I'm in the place to be, and I'd like to welcome y'all, Cheryl Anderson, CA, in the building.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm feeling good.
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2018.
It's a new year. New me, new... No, I'm just
Hey, you about to make it happen this year, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Hey, as always, I appreciate you coming up here and, you know, giving me your takes. I love talking with you about technology and geek and nerd culture because you have a lot of great insight. So how about we get right into it?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go.
So the first thing, let's just establish it right now. You do not own an iPhone.
I do not own an iPhone. No, I believe in the other dog.
Hey,
Android.
You actually might have a little advantage because Apple is in a lot of hot water because of these batteries not performing well. So there was a lot of talk about Apple obviously slowing down the performance and the battery not, you know, being as effective as a ploy for you to get the new phone, right? So people thought, well, damn, this is like Apple trying to make me abandon my iPhone 6 to get the new 7. And so a developer actually did a test saying, no, it's not actually that. It's really because of the new operating system. It slows down everything, and the battery isn't equipped to be able to run on the operating system. Henceforth, you need a new battery. So a lot of like backlash. Apple was like, Apple got a lot of backlash because of it. And so they apologized and said that they will offer a $29 battery replacement for the remainder of this year. So my question to you is, do you think that's acceptable?
No.
Okay, well, run it. Like, what you think?
$29? People are spending $1,000, $800 on these phones, and their solution is $29 for the year? Like, what am I going to do with that? Like, you can spend $29 right now.
Well, so the battery normally costs about $80, right?
Okay.
So they're saying, you know, we're going to give you $50 off. You don't think that, you think that's not enough? They should just give you the battery for free, is what you say?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
No, I feel you.
Yes. And then they should do it continuously because you know that's going to run out. So, like, maybe twice a year or something like that.
Well, beyond the bad press, they've gotten, like, a lot of lawsuits. In fact, over 26 lawsuits have come down. I mean, ranging not just in domestically, like the biggest ones are New York and Ohio, but there's a few internationally as well. France and Israel have also have lawsuits. And what they're saying that they want Apple to compensate all iPhone users who have experienced these slowdowns and offer, like you said, free battery replacements, refund the customers who purchase brand new iPhones.
It's good business.
To give them maximum performance and also have some type of explanation in the operating system as to why or how this can be prevented in the future. Do you think that's the right punitive consequence?
It's just so weird. Like, Apple's like this $1 trillion company and, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, our operating system can't work with this battery. Come on, you're Apple. Like, you are the inventor of inventions.
Exactly.
Like, you couldn't... I don't believe it.
Hey, I think, we talk about it all the time on the show, like, kind of Apple's decline. And just in the last like few years, like literally, there's been so just many like mistakes and like mishaps and just technical issues at the keynote address and just like product launches not, you know, being up to par as in previous years. And like this battery thing is like a huge blow to the brand. Like, I mean, well, let me frame it this way. So have you ever considered buying an iPhone or are you always Android like first?
No, I absolutely have. Considered buying an iPhone. You know, I want to have FaceTime, you know? I want to have the group chats and everything
right.
I want all the pings and I want all that, you know? But, you know, it's just too much I have to transfer over and, you know.
No, I feel it.
Maybe you should have Android and have less expectations. I don't know.
So my follow-up question is then, I mean, if you did cross over into you know, Apple world and grab an iPhone, I mean, do you think that this type of news is not adding to your zeal to do that?
No.
Sure, right?
I guess you just expect more from Apple. Like, I already know when I buy my regular Android phones that the battery life is going to suck. Like, literally within maybe 3 to 6 months. Like, you just know, like, the decline is going to happen.
Right,
but
right,
for
right.
Apple, because they have such a
mystique,
title.
Exactly.
Yeah, with them, like, you just expect them to be the best. So,
right.
I could deal with this with, you know, a regular phone. Why would I'm going to spend all this money for the Apple?
I know.
And no.
Hey, Apple, get it together.
Get it together.
Like, come on. We expect way more from you.
If Steve Jobs was still here.
Exactly. He is turning over in his grave. Like, step it up. Step it up. Or I'm going to get the Pixel. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, that's a,
what
that's
mean,
a good
ooh.
Phone. No, I mean, like, that's just like, I feel sorry for Apple. Because the Pixel looks dope.
Pixel is dope. Anywho, hey, so I was having this conversation with a friend about a week or two ago. We were talking about, I mean, this is not news, but we're talking about, like, how, you know, we were growing up, like, it was a privilege to have cable,
yeah.
right? And maybe even our parents' generation, there was no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, hey, we grew up on cable, or it was a privilege to have cable, and mm-hmm. now this generation is, like, growing up with no cable. Like, so we have, you know, people that are still corded and still have cable, people
yeah.
that are cutting the cord, and then we have these millennials and these younger cats that are cord nevers, that have never had cable,
oh, okay.
and that get their content, you know, from streaming platforms.
Yeah.
And so there's this whole talk about, you know, how can there be some type of salvaging of the old distribution system of television in terms of, like, how people are adopting these new avenues to have their content distributed. And so mm-hmm. one of the things that's saving, you know, traditional terrestrial television is sports, because it's water cooler moment, it's live, and actually the sport actually sells the licensing rights to the network. So,
mm-hmm.
hey, you know, NFL will play, you know, their games on Fox. And
mm-hmm.
so Fox has that for a contract, right?
Right.
So the question now is being asked, what happens if a streaming platform like Netflix or like Amazon buys, like, the licensing rights to, you know, a big sports franchise like the NFL? Does that kill the
Ooh.
Old model of TV? Cheryl?
Ooh.
What does it do?
I'm not gonna lie. Before the strike and everything happened, I specifically was trying to look for a streaming somehow to stream live sports, because I'm one of those people. I don't have cable.
Right, right.
I use Netflix, Hulu, and everything
yep.
else. And I was really trying to find something that streamed live sports for me. And I'm so torn, because I actually really love traditional television. I have people who say, you know, I hate commercials and all that stuff, but I actually really just, I like the...
You like the programming,
I
right?
like the programming of it.
Okay.
It just...
So, I mean, are you saying that you like the programming of the traditional format of TV over, you know, you being able to have the customization? Like, are you saying you prefer that way better?
I just want both.
You want
both. I just want both. There's sometimes that you specifically want to see this particular show with no commercials. You just want to get through it. And then there's sometimes, like, especially with cable, certain shows that you've never, or you haven't watched in, like, a long time will come on. You're like, oh. And then you kind of sit down and watch it. And you don't really have that feel, or you see different commercials or something
yep.
that brings you back. You don't have that same feel when you cut the cord, so to speak. When I go, you know, to my mom,
yep.
because, of course, she has cable.
Gotcha.
And I go and I watch the movies and I watch old stuff, and I'm just like, oh, I don't get that same experience when I watch stuff online.
I understand.
So, I mean, it's just, it's like a balance. Like, I need a balance of both. Sometimes you want to experience cutthroat and just want to get through everything, and then sometimes you just kind of want to just leisurely watch television.
I feel you. So you want to balance between linear and non-linear mm-hmm. television. You want to be able to have the option to customize your viewing experience, but
yes.
you also want to have the fluidity of the programming, because sometimes watching commercials is cool, even though you can watch them on YouTube anyway.
Ooh.
So this is the thing, though. NBC, CBS currently pay the NFL $450 million for the broadcast portion
okay.
of the rights for football games, right? So what happens if someone like Jeff Bezos and Amazon said, you know what, sucker, we're gonna pay you double, $900 million. All the NFL rights belong to Amazon. What happens? Theorize. Go.
I get on Amazon and watch it.
So is that the end?
That's watch it.
Is that like the dagger in the heart, though? If that happens,
man, it might be. It's just a transition, because
yeah.
someone else is going to think of something else to kind of put something else together. It's just a transition of us now.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as a death per se. It might be a sleep moment, and then they arise and a new idea happens. But it's kind of like life. It just kind of reinvents itself.
I got you.
It's a cycle.
Cycle. I love that word. Speaking of cycle, a bad cycle for SpaceX, one of my favorite companies.
Oh, that's right. You are a space nerd.
Hell yeah. I'm a space nerd. 100%. But anyway, so yeah, SpaceX, they launched the rocket on Sunday, and it failed to enter a stable orbit, and it was lost. And then it came, we came to find out that this launch was actually top secret. It was classified, and we have no other information regarding what they were putting up there in space or even how it got lost. But this is a huge deal because, I mean, the SpaceX program has had like a couple of bouts of success in terms of getting like a rocket up to space and using that same rocket to come back down on Earth and then shooting that rocket back up again. And so having this kind of as a failed attempt, I don't know. It doesn't speak good, and especially because it's a top secret. We really can't analyze what happened. So they partnered with a company called Zuma. And SpaceX provided the rocket and Zuma provided the actual cargo that was being shipped off into space. They launched it at Cape Carnival in Florida and it just didn't make it. And so I'm a huge fan of SpaceX, Elon Musk, all the things he's doing with Tesla, Solar City. Like, I'm a huge fan. Do you think that this is a critical era for his company, or do you think that this is just a part of him, you know, getting humans to Mars?
I don't think it's a failure. Sometimes things are failures, but that doesn't mean that they're bad.
Right.
But it's part of the game to me. Like, sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. That's why you're testing it, to see if they do or they don't.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any block to their company or anything like that. It's just they're testing. The secret testing, but they're testing.
Right.
I think they'll still be fine. SpaceX will be fine. Elon Musk will be fine. They're still going to find a new way to do things. I'm interested in seeing Mars. So
hey,
more power 100%.
Would you go if they're like, hey, Cheryl, you know, we will pay for everything.
Why not, though?
You blasting off?
Yeah.
You out of here?
I'm out.
Earth, goodbye? You'll be the first woman to colonize Mars?
Can they give me the mask and everything? Is there life on it? What was the movie with Anne Hathaway and what's his face? Interstellar.
Interstellar, where they
were trying to find the life on different planets.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's life experiences. Like, I can say, like, I went to Mars, guys.
Hey, I would definitely sign up. Like, I would want to go to space. I want to be the first hip-hop artist to ever make it. You see how I did that, right? I'm a hip-hop artist now.
Every day's a new day.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you a day that, you know, I'm counting down to, and that's the Tokyo Olympics in 2020. Ooh. A few years away, though. But what's really cool about this is that they're developing a new technology that's going to help for security purposes. They're developing a facial recognition that will help athletes go into the village and out of the village seamlessly. Instead of having to have like a card or like a necklace with your credentials, literally there will be cameras that scan your face and will know if it's you or not going into in and out of the village. So it'll help prevent for terrorism, help prevent for people trying to like break in. Mm-hmm. And if there are thefts in the village or any type of criminal activity, it's able to recognize who is doing that. Do you think that this technology is useful for the Olympics, or do you think it's kind of invasive?
Oh, I hate these questions. Woo! Because I'm just always on the fence. Like, it's just facial recognition and the
and keep in mind they already use it. Japan already uses it in their airports.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So some of their airports. So they're trying to adopt it to other parts of society. And being at the Olympics is such a like a world stage event, and you do have to worry about terrorism and criminal
activity. It does make sense. It's not like they have it on phones and things like that. So it is coming into our world.
Yep.
I just, you know, technology is always such a leery thing. And it's funny because as I say that, because I support Elon Musk. But it's just, I know it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good.
Right.
But a part of me still wants a little bit of privacy, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the argument. People are saying, okay, you scan my face and you get all that information. How do I know that you're not going to use it use that down the line for something else and use it against me? Or I don't have control over that data that you collected.
Real talk, they probably have everything on us anyway. So, you know, how many times have we heard about the whole laptop and the webcam and they're looking at you and staring? They have your phones, you have all the apps that you use, they ask for all this information. Like, they know everything already.
Yeah.
So, plus one more thing.
No, I feel that. I feel that. I mean, I think that, you know, being that Japan is such an incredible country.
Have you been?
I've been.
Oh, it's amazing.
I've been to Tokyo, I've been to Osaka, and I've been to Okinawa. Mm-hmm. But that I mean, the country is just incredible. Like, the diversity, the culture, the technology. And I feel like they're always, you know, advancing something.
Yeah.
So to be able to have this prepared for 2020 Olympics, I think is, like, game-changing. And I'm interested to see if it actually will prevent crime or prevent, you know, anyone trying to take advantage of the system, like breaking in, breaking out, whatever. Like, so who knows? It might be the new normal. The
now
new
that
standard.
You said that, yeah, I am actually interested in the data behind that to see if that really does work.
Yeah.
Because it could be used for a lot of useful things then.
Exactly. 100%. Hey, this is a really interesting story, though. Like, we always have, me and Joe, we always have this debate about, you know, like, music and the whole digital era, or, you know, going back, you know, decades ago when, you know, we listened to music on vinyl. And just the nuances between, you know, the vinyl and, you know, the MP3 world that we're in. And so this new thing is so ridiculous. In Prague, they have developed this robot that is actually...
I'm already done.
Thank you. Hold on. Let me set it up. They develop a robot, a robot arm that acts as a DJ. And literally, it's in the club.
No.
It cues the music, it picks the songs, it grabs the CDs, it even can scratch the records. So do you think now that when you be up in the club, you'd be like, yo, DJ Robot, son? Like, DJ Robot spinning on Wednesdays. Are you going?
No. No, I can't support that.
You're not
that.
Going?
I cannot support that. These are, like, people's dreams. Like, it's just, it's such a creative mind to create these mixes that DJs do. Like, it's just... Don't do that. Don't take away the art like that.
What happens if the robot's better?
Oh, that's terrible. Who taught that then? Is the person who's teaching it like the DJ too? Like, are they like the top DJ?
It's based on the I guess the processing power of the computer, the AI.
Like, when it comes to art type stuff, like, I know electronics is electronics and stuff like that, but when it comes to art, like, that's just a more emotional type of feel, and I just don't want to unhumanize that.
So what happens if your eyes were closed? You couldn't tell. You couldn't tell the difference.
No,
you still don't support it?
Let art be art. Let us have that still. Let us don't take that away yet.
So you don't want a robot making you being your mixologist?
No. I don't want it to make my drinks. I don't want it to serve me. I don't want it. Or now they have like the lady who wants to have like have a citizenship and have babies. Like, no.
Right.
Don't take away the essence of humans.
No, I feel it. I feel it. I mean, because the ability to make a mistake. That is what makes the human error aspect of our humanity is what makes us awesome.
Yeah.
Because out of that error, we're able to innovate. We're able to be creative. Mm-hmm. We're able to, you know, develop areas for inspiration. So, you know, AI technology might be so precise, so exact that it loses that type of nuance, which makes things special. Like, for instance, when you're in the recording booth and back in the day when you had to get that shit right because you're recording on tape versus now on Pro Tools, you could do a million takes and there's no issue. Like, you have to really rehearse that. You have to go over it 100 times before you went to the studio because you can't waste that money. Versus now, that process of developing, you know, that vocal arrangement or making sure that your melodies, you know, pitch perfect, that art is kind of lost now because you take for granted the fact that, hey, I can go in the studio right now and just do it a million times. So I feel you on that. However, I'm interested to see how this robot can literally probably assess millions of songs instantaneously. Like, okay, I just played this Kendrick Lamar song. I know the perfect song to go right after that.
Yes. I mean, they did that a long time ago with the Apple, with the iTouches and stuff like that. The Genius or something like
that. Genius.
It would just kind of feel the vibe of the music and kind of pick each song after that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that's really good that'll help, you know, technology and help make things easier and stuff, but it's just... We gotta learn some stuff too. Like, it's just, like, it's our human ex- it's our life on this world. We have to make, you know, use of it. So
preach, sister. Preach,
just,
sister.
Certain stuff just
speak to me now.
I mean, I get it. I feel it. Like, I probably would like to see it.
Okay.
But I just, you know, something about that live person who's DJing and they feel it and you feel it. You just like, yeah. Like, it's just a certain this energy that you get. And I don't know if I'm gonna get that from the hand. Like, that's like
just the arm.
Right. And
go,
it's just
robot.
Like,
go.
It's literally robotic. Like, it's just like, oh, well.
Okay.
It's just, it's
well, not. I'm not inviting you to my birthday party then. Because I'm definitely booking DJ Robot.
Just like.
Exactly.
So weird.
Well, yeah, so we obviously haven't done the show in a few weeks. We're in 2018, but I want to kind of like give a RIP to the technology that became a casualty in 2017. So there was a lot of technologies and companies that actually bit the dust in 2017. Mm-hmm. And there might be some that might be able to be resurrected in 2018, but let's just go through them really quick. So, in the dustbin of tech history is, the first one is AOL AIM.
Oh!
Did you have an AIM?
I used it so much. I did.
You
I
did? So, wait, you were in college, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Talk, give me kind of like an anecdote of, like, what was your name? Do you remember?
It was probably still Little Missy. It's probably okay. The funny part. I used to wonder what would happen. I remember telling friends, like, I don't know what I would do without this type of thing. And then it just kind of disappeared. And I was like, But that was the jam. Like, to hit people up on.
And that sound, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Iconic sound, memories. Iconic logo. Well, yeah, it died last year. No longer.
I don't think who was still using that?
Like, I'm sure there were like five people still using it spread throughout the world.
I feel like my sister still has an AOL account. Like, I just, why?
Yeah, so that AIM is not being resurrected. That is the funeral, everything. You know, AIM is in the ground.
You had a good run, though.
3D TV. Were you ever into that? Put on the 3D glasses and, my TV's now 3D.
No.
Yeah, so that actually
I feel like
took,
that was gone in 2 weeks. Like, why? Who?
Yeah, no one really rocked with that. It didn't work. It didn't work for the family room.
How, glasses on glasses. Just
so the Microsoft Kinect. So
what is that?
So the Kinect is for the Xbox, the motion sensing camera. Yeah. That when you're playing games, it enables to read your face and your body movements. So that is becoming archaic because we're in this virtual reality headset world. Like, we have the Oculus, we have, you know, all the
it
all
is
the,
better.
Exactly. So, like, no one has a usage for the Microsoft Kinect, so it went bye-bye.
It is better.
Adobe Lightroom 6. I really love Adobe, so you're able to, obviously in Lightroom, you're able to, you know, retouch and fix your photo imagery. And so Adobe branded the new Lightroom, Lightroom Creative Cloud, and they have the classic version, but they also have what they're calling the Lightroom Creative Cloud. So they have both. You can go to both, but Lightroom 6 is the last one. There won't be a Lightroom 7, unfortunately, because they've now rebranded it to just the Creative Cloud, which they've kind of like curated like the user ability on the app so that you don't have necessarily all of the same functionality that you would have in the classic or in 6, but it's just more so like very like kind of like just simplified. That's what I'm trying to say. It's simplified. So that went bye-bye. Now here it goes to products that have sung their swan song, and that is the Apple iPod Nano and the iPod Shuffle. No longer. Not making them no more. They're gone.
I feel like my mom still needs one.
No, no. Why? Like, why? Like, for what?
The MP3 player. Mom,
oh, no.
She doesn't want to use her phone.
Let me see. You know? What are some other good ones here? Couple cameras that we won't be seeing anymore. Oh, were you familiar with the Snapchat spectacles? So Snapchat developed these glasses.
They had actual glasses?
Yeah, actual glasses where you could like literally record and it would go to your Snapchat. And so
just only that though?
I mean, and so it had like this AR functionality. So so you were able to like put the glasses on and you'd be able to see certain things like in your surroundings that were kind of just like augmented reality, right? Mm-hmm. And so it didn't catch on. And Snap, you know, they were really banking on this and with the whole sunglasses with camera spectacle, and it just did not sell. Like it.
When did that even come out?
Last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, they actually launched at the end of 2016, but like 2017, last year was supposed to be their year of like really like bringing it in, and it did not work. I know. Terrible, terrible. So the window phone, no more. Windows will no longer be making phones.
Okay,
so that is kind of sad because I know you had the Windows phone.
Wow,
all your
I never
life.
Had it. I was always Android, never, ever.
Gotcha.
Maybe
gotcha.
The OnePlus ones, but never Android. I mean, never Windows.
Right. And then, you know what else took? Well, I would say this is on life support, but the the phone headphone jack. So obviously, you know, with the new iPhone, we don't have a phone jack. We don't have the 16th inch.
That's so weird.
So that, but that's being adopted to a lot of phones now.
Really? No.
Exactly. So the 3.5 millimeter jack, not the 16 inch.
Yeah.
That is being taken away, and so we'll see what happens. You know, this year phone launches, if they're going to continue or discontinue that.
I need this. And then I need the USB cord, but I can just use any USB.
Get your Bluetooth speaker. Get your Bluetooth headphone game up. All right.
I like the cords. I don't know why. I like the cords.
No, I feel it.
So you feel connected.
No, I got you. I got you. So that is the swan song for a lot of technology that was completely disrupted in 2017.
Rest in peace, guys.
Rest in peace. Moment of silence.
That was me pouring out something.
pouring out a little what?
A little air,
for sure. So yeah, we all heard the news about almost a month ago that Disney bought Fox, right?
Woo!
For a whopping $52.4 billion.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, it's official. And what did they get with that? Like, for all you geeks and nerds out there, mm-hmm. like, they have now X-Men. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
X-Men, thumbs up.
Thank you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that includes Deadpool.
Yes.
Thumbs up, thumbs mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. Fantastic Four, baby!
They're, like, here.
But now that they're part of the whole universe, yeah. like, hey, we can make it dope now. Star Wars, obviously.
Yeah.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Thumbs up?
Thumbs up.
Big, you're a big Simpsons fan?
I'm a little more Family Guy, but Simpsons, but that's okay.
Okay, Family Guy's next. American Dad, The Orville.
All of that.
We have Aliens that's in the catalog now.
Okay.
That's pretty dope. Avatar.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next Avatar.
Yes.
Come on, and Cameron, obviously, Fox had a share of Hulu, so Disney bought that share as well. So now they have Handmaid's Tale. Let's go. Have you watched that?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Love it. They have
all. They wanted the Golden Globes, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They have all the FX stuff, American Horror Story, Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm,
The catalog is fat. The X-Files.
That's amazing.
Even on the animation side, they have Ice Age.
That's amazing. What are they going to do with all this?
They're about to make this money.
What's happening to Fox, though? Like, is Fox like...
I know. Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
The catalog is rich. I mean, all those are like incredibly huge properties.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're going to exploit the heck out of it, right?
That's a good move for Disney.
Super move for Disney. It's a power move.
I'm excited to see what they produce now.
Yeah. I'm excited to see too.
Wait, don't they own both like Marvel and
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying. Like they got it all. They got it all. Well, let's talk about two dope Netflix. Well, some might argue that it's not dope. Let's talk about two Netflix properties. So we have one that is a show, and we have another that's a movie. So let's start with the movie. The movie is Will Smith's Bright. Is it terrible, Cheryl, or was it excellent? And tell me why. Go!
Okay, so I actually watched the movie twice. The first time...
Wow.
I know. The first time I watched it, and I thought it was terrible. And I was telling people, like, this is ridiculous. Don't watch this. And so I was talking to my friend Nick, and he was like, I keep hearing all these things, and it's really good. And I was like, maybe I didn't really watch it. And I realized I did not watch it.
Oh.
I was not watching that movie. And the second time that I watched it, I was like, huh, actually, it is pretty good. It's a pretty decent movie. It's not the best of the best, and it's not, like, terrible. But it's very interesting how they kind of put in collaborated race and classism and a lot of other stuff into this thing. I still have questions about who is who and what and all that kind of stuff. Some stuff is a little quirky, and you know, Will Smith is always Will Smith, but I thought it was pretty decent. And now they have like a 2 coming out, or
yeah. So, well, I have to say, it got 32% score on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. They spent about $90 million on it.
Oh, that's
a huge budget,
man.
But yeah, you're right. Netflix has reported they have greenlit a sequel with Will.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Like, I thought the movie was cool. Like, I think it's kind of harsh to say it was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like excellent, like, but like conceptually
it wasn't terrible.
No, not at all. Conceptually it was dope. Like the special effects was dope. Like, the concept was dope. Like, it wasn't like I have to turn this off. But I can see, like, man, you spent $90 million on that bad boy. Like, I would expect a little bit more, but I'm interested to see what they do with the sequel.
Yeah.
But I felt it was entertaining.
I'm interested to see how the story progresses.
Exactly. Marissa, did you get a chance to see that?
I have not.
The way you said it, like, no. I'm actually not really interested in that. 32% Akili on Rotten Tomatoes.
Can't really sell me.
No, I feel it. And I was so rooting for Will too, because like he hasn't really had like a like a blockbusting success in a while.
But he's probably producing stuff on his own end. His son. Oh, I'm excited to see
You love his album?
I just saw that one video that he did. Icon Living. That is woo
fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised. I was not expecting it, and it's fire. So
okay. Well, let me throw this at you. So the second Netflix property, which I am saying is excellent, is Spike Lee's She's Gotta Have It, Baby. What do you think? Woo!
I actually really enjoyed that show. It is a Spike Lee.
Thank you.
Joint. Like it is Spike Lee written all over.
100%.
There's one little thing.
No. Tell me what you like first.
First of all, it was very. Visually beautiful. It was visually beautiful. I like the content that they were talking about. It was stylistic. It was just a very artsy type of just new agey, but it was dope. It's dope.
Yeah.
At times, though, and you can disagree, it was a little preachy on some stuff.
It was.
But for the most part, I've watched it like twice, the whole series twice. So,
man. I thought the series was excellent, but tell me what you was the preachy part the part you didn't like, or was it another part?
No, the certain parts of it were it just felt like it was just like really preachy about different things, and I just thought we could have gone over.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But for the most part, I thought it was a really great show.
Yeah, I thought it was beautifully shot. Yeah. A lot of great cultural like Easter eggs it threw in there, and just like I mean, we talk about women empowerment and having narratives that are diverse. Like I feel like She's Gotta Have It definitely hit a couple of beats that were just like really like okay, it's a great thing to reflect on and actually start to think about how we view ourselves and how we view the world and how the world even views us. Like, so
one of the topics that they had brought up, especially with there was like polyamory, and I don't think we really discussed that. A lot of people go to like polygamy and the sister wives and everything like that, but this is a slightly different concept, and that we don't really talk about, which I'm kind of hoping that Issa Rae's show's name.
To my Insecure.
Yeah, Insecure. Yeah. I hope the Insecure kind of touches on that instead of the cheating part.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just it was interesting to see, like you said, the female empowerment and how she is open about like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Everybody knows, like, you know, it is what it is type of thing.
Absolutely.
And it's not, you know, people can say slut shaming and things like that, but it was just it's very interesting to see that kind of content on television.
100%.
Yeah.
Speaking of television, tell me like what you think is going to be successful for 2018. And you actually got to meet some of the cast and work on this show, LA to Vegas. Do you think it's going to be successful?
That show is really funny though.
Is it going to make it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to make it.
So you're excited about that?
I am excited about it. It's really funny.
Grown-ish. On Freeform.
I haven't seen the first episode. I've seen like the come-ups of everything like that. Actually,
I've heard great things about this.
Yeah, it looks dope. Like, I'm excited to actually watch that with my niece who's in college. So that looks dope.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like to see it. Because, I miss like a different world and stuff like that. So I kind of want to see like if he kind of brought that in.
For sure. So Ryan Murphy has a new show, 911, which you also got to interview people on. And you know who was filming me, but we're not going to say nothing.
Oh, you got to tell the story.
No, I'm not telling that. Tell the story. I can't say that on air. Anyway, do you think 911's going to make it?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Why not?
The Four?
The Four. What? Oh, I've already heard so many great things about that show. I haven't seen it. I'm not like a singing competition type of person, but I hear it's really dope. I mean, you have like Diddy and DJ Khaled, so
that's right.
You know, it's gonna make it. You the best.
Take that. Yo, The Chi, which I've heard a lot of great things about, coming on Showtime. So Common produced this joint.
Okay.
And it's,
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, that is.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, that looks pretty fresh, and so I haven't seen an episode yet, but I think that's going to go the distance.
I wonder since Spike Lee had did his movie about Chicago. Chirac. Yeah. I kind of wonder if they've like, no, we want to show a different type of Chicago, like our Chicago.
Yep.
So I kind of wonder about that.
I feel you on that. So Taraji is following up her Hidden Figures dope with Proud Mary.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's going to be dope?
I do.
Tell me why.
I'm excited for her because I feel like maybe every female but specifically a black female, like, we always want to play the action. Like, we want to do more.
Right.
And I just, it shows so much power that she has. And it's just a different, like, you don't see a lot of black female superheroes type of thing. And, like, it's just, oh, I'm ready to see that. And, you know, I usually you see it more when people are younger and she's a little bit later. Well, I don't want to say like she's like old because she's not old, but it's just you're used to seeing more of a younger character and she's not. And I love that. And I love that because it's like, yo, I'm still dope. And what?
Thank you.
So I really.
Thank you.
I'm very excited you. To see. Yeah.
You're my superhero.
I'm excited to see like what she does. I am.
Yeah, I hope it makes it. Black Lightning on the CW network. Mm-hmm. Think it's gonna go?
I don't know.
DC Comics. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the year of the black superhero. We got Black Panther. You think that's gonna be explosive?
Oh, first of all, I was gonna ask you, like, when are we gonna? Because I want to take off work. I want it to be a party.
I'm about to rent out the whole theater.
Like, I am ready for this movie, Coogler. I am ready.
I already got my outfit and everything.
I want everybody to dress up. Like, just go in. I'm ready for it.
Hey, I already said it's going to be the first black-directed, black-produced film that makes $1 billion.
Man.
Let's go, Ryan.
It's just so much talk, and it hasn't even... It's been so much talk.
Like I said, this is the year, of the black superhero. We are in there.
And even Black Lightning is created by the Akils, the Akil production, which is another black couple.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I'm excited for that.
And a few more, which... Again, I mean, you also got to participate in some interviews with this one, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story on FX. Do you think that's going to blow?
Yes.
Man,
yes.
That's looking good, too.
Yes.
I mean, did you see The People versus OJ?
Yes.
Man, I loved it.
Very well done.
Exactly. So this is the follow-up to that. Again, Ryan Murphy in the building, producing it up. Let's see, a few more.
So exciting. Maze
Runner? Were you a fan of Maze Runner, the movie?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not really juiced about that one. But yeah, that's all we have. Like, again, we're still in the renaissance of television. So much great TV out there.
It's coming.
It's like, damn, like, when do you have time to watch all this stuff, right?
But I feel like it's almost as though movies are doing a slight decline and television is coming back.
That's right.
And like I said, everything's a cycle. Everything kind of comes and goes. But it's very exciting to see because they're pushing the levels of television that you haven't seen before. And it's just exciting to see. I'm a television person, so.
I feel it. Well, hey, there you have it. That's all I got. Again, I appreciate you coming on the show. You're the black superhero. Yeah, I wish you well in this year cycle. I want all of us to be successful and to excel and to grow and expand. And yeah, thank you again. And tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, LILMIZZC. That is Little Miss C. Instagram, same, but with one less Z, LILMIZZC on Instagram. And that's it.
Let's go. And yo, you guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. As always, appreciate you tuning in and listening and supporting. And we will see you next week. Geek, nerd, tech, baby.
Woo!
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.